Welcome back to the KPL Podcast. I am your host, Jagisha. This week on the podcast, I have author Jennifer Bell, and we will be discussing her newest novel, Swana in Love. This is a coming-of-age story about a teenage girl who falls in love with an older man, much older man. Let's talk to Jennifer to learn more.
Listeners, this week on the podcast, I have Jennifer Bell, and she is the author of Swana in Love. Welcome to the podcast, Jennifer.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
So, you know, right off the bat, I always like to tell my listeners about the book. So could you just give us a spoiler-free summary of the book?
Yes, I will try. Swana in Love is about a 14-year-old girl who has a love affair with a 38-year-old married man. That's it in a nutshell.
Yeah.
My character, Swana, is having the time of her life at summer camp, theater camp, and she gets on the bus to go home, and she's excited to go home and be in her air-conditioned apartment with her father meeting her at the bus, and it's 1982, so things were a little bit different. She gets pulled off the bus at the last minute and told that her mother is going to pick her up. And she spends the day completely alone at the deserted summer camp. And her mother finally rolls in with a very strange new boyfriend and takes her and her brother to an artist colony in Vermont that doesn't allow kids inside. So she and her brother have to sleep in a truck. And that's what starts everything off.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So what inspired the story?
Well, everything I just described happened to me in the early 80s. I went on this bizarre road trip with my mother and her boyfriend to this strange artist colony. And I had always wanted to write it, and had been discouraged for various reasons. And then a couple of things happened during the pandemic that just made me want to forget everything I had ever been warned about and write it anyway.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So how did you go about creating Swana? Because she is definitely one of the most fascinating 14-year-olds I've met.
Well, thank you. It wasn't hard to create her. She just came pouring out of me, which I know is a big cliche a lot of writers say, but it was really true. During the pandemic, I was stuck upstate New York with my family, two teenagers on Zoom school, and I desperately wanted to be back in New York, and I just felt like that 14-year-old. I think I really regressed, and I just became this person who wanted to be somewhere else. So it just was so easy and natural to write her. I think it's my true self, actually.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. So now, I always feel like I'm 21 all the time, like I'm 26, but you know, there's like that age that you've just sort of been like, all right. And the reason I'm 21 is so I can drink alcohol. I think
permanently. Right. You don't want to be any younger than that.
Yeah.
Good point.
Now, did you have any difficulties selling the book? Because this is an interesting subject matter where a 14-year-old's having an affair with a man in his late 30s.
Well, of course, in this particular moment in publishing where there are sensitivity readers and there are trigger warnings and people are very, very scared. And after Me Too, there's a whole new level of awareness. It was a little bit crazy, and I did have trouble selling it. I mean, it's a very strange story because a lot of the big publishers seem to really like it and seem to be very scared of it, but didn't really want to go on the record saying anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't come as a complete surprise, but I thought that we would talk about it. I thought that they would ask for changes to be made, maybe make her older, make the man younger, or change some of the situation, or make it from an adult looking back. Because there are plenty of books and movies that deal with this subject matter, but the characters in those books often are dealing with the trauma of it, looking back. My book takes place in 8 days And my character does not feel like a victim, even though she's 14 and she's clearly not in control because she's 14. She feels like she is. So she feels like she's the one making all the moves. She feels like the aggressor. And like, and if you look in the book, she kisses him first, and she walks through the door first. There's lots of clues like that. But I was open-minded to making some changes, but I submitted the book exactly the way I really wanted to write it, which was an incredible feeling to just not care about what was to come. And I did find a publisher who liked it the way it was. So I'm really happy that it worked out the way it did, but there were some tense moments.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah. It's a little bit crazy because this is my fifth novel, but it's my first novel in 13 years. So it's a little bit of a strange decision to come back with this one, but it's really what I wanted to do.
So now that it's been published, so it came out January 30th of this year, I believe.
Yes.
And have you gotten any pushback from readers, or what's been the response?
Well, that's been a very nice surprise, is I've gotten excellent reviews. Kirkus gave it a starred review and seemed to really understand that it was about an empowering story of a girl's sexuality. People are comparing it to True Grit and to they're calling it an inverse Lolita. You know, Lolita is a book that's all in a man's head. You know, it's in Humbert's point of view, and he sexualizes Lolita, and it's really his fantasy, and we don't really know what's real or what's not real. And my book is from the point of view of the girl, so it's really an exploration of what she wants, and there's a lot of ethical and moral problems in the book that are open for discussion, but she doesn't feel like a victim, and so that's what's different about my book compared to those other books. But the response has been very good. Which is, you know, there's all this worry whenever you write about anything, let alone something that could be controversial. And so I was just incredibly pleased that people seem to like it, and that's what this is all about.
Well, and I think some of that has to do with Swana. I mean, she is this interesting dichotomy of this insightful, wise person. And then the other part of it you get is you do get some of her sort of 14-year-old teenage girl stuff too. So she's just fascinating with the way you blended that those two parts of her together.
Thank you very much. I mean, that's it. It just was very natural to do. There wasn't a lot of designing involved.
Okay, well, some of it. Let's talk about Swana's parents, because they seem pretty clueless and checked out. Although I feel like this might have been the parenting style of the 80s, because I mean, there's.
Very much so. Yeah. I mean, it was a totally different world. Imagine a world with no seat belts and no cell phones, and you know, that I don't know. When I was a kid, they did this campaign on television. You know, you'd be watching television, which I did a lot, and this bell would sound, and these words would come on the TV screen. It's 5 o'clock. Do you know where your children are? And nobody did know where their children were.
Yep, we
And
were running around.
there was a famous murder case. A child went missing in New York City in Greenwich Village, about a block from my apartment when I was growing up. His name was Eitan Peetz, and he just went missing. He was a public school kid who was waiting for the bus for school, and of course he was alone, even though he was like 8 years old or something, because that's what we did back then, is we waited for the bus alone when we were 8 years old. And he went missing. And I believe that that case really changed parenting in New York City, but not for my parents. It didn't change a thing for them. So when I was a kid, I took the subway, and I traveled alone, And my mother had this philosophy, which I think a lot of mothers in the 80s had, to your point, that was if happy mother equals happy children. And that is not true. But she stands by it to this day.
I remember that the message with the news and do you know where your kids are? And
Right. It was a big campaign. It's 5 o'clock. Do you know where your children are? So funny to think about that.
It is strange when I think about, because I growing up in the 80s and 90s and just it was just a different way of looking. Kids, I mean, parents weren't always constantly around the kids. I mean, I ran around all over the place. My sister and I once went off to a carnival with a church group and hadn't told our mother at all. And she
Exactly.
around 5 o'clock, she's like, "Where have you been?"
Yes. Right. That's the spirit that you have to take this book in, because that's very much how it was. And now there's an app on my, I have two teenage sons. There's an app on my phone that tracks them like luggage. I look at this thing to see that, oh, they're in a taxi, or they're, at school. And they didn't, there wasn't anything like that when I was a kid.
Definitely. So, yeah, I think it does bring me back, like thinking about that time period. Because when I first started reading it, and I thought, what time period is this in? Especially when they're sleeping in the truck. And I thought, okay, I gotta, and I realized that I'm like, this has got to be the 80s.
Right, but at the same time, kids still feel the same way. I mean, I think that people are much, much more careful sexually, and men are sort of scared these days, but biology is biology, and men and women like each other, and this is not so unusual and crazy as it might seem. Even though it is crazy, but it is not.
Unheard
Swan
of.
is not the only one.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, it is not unheard of for sure.
Right.
So now you said this is your last book came out about 13 years ago, you said.
Yeah, it might be 14, but I'm just sticking with 13.
So how has your writing process changed over time? I know you said I think I read other interviews, you said you were still writing the whole time, but so in terms of approaching this book versus The 7 Year Bitch.
It's funny because I've been telling everybody that I was writing the whole time, because I was. I mean, I have a couple of hundred pages or so of another book, and this book, Swana in Love, began as a tiny little flashback, like a two paragraph flashback in another book. I had to l look through my old diaries to find a reference for this other piece of writing I have to do, and I'm reading through my diary from a few years ago, and several years, and the pages are just filled with, why aren't you writing? You should write. You should write. Why can't you write? Why can't I write? So I don't think I was quite writing as much as I am telling everybody I was writing. I think I was more stuck and lost than I'm letting on, actually. But I had proposed the idea for this book to my former agent, who retired, really fantastic agent, and she thought it would be very problematic. And that was before the idea of the affair. It was just the idea of a 14-year-old protagonist in an adult book was very worrisome for her. But people have liked it. I mean, even men, really fantastic men writers have related to her and have liked this 14-year-old protagonist. So I think that men and women are relating to this. And I've had some very young readers, and of course readers my age and older. So I think it's going to work out okay. I hope.
I think so. I think so. I think people understand what the book is about. So, they're not seeing as a some type of exploitation of a 14-year-old. They're understanding that this is her journey.
Yeah, I got one bad review I saw over the weekend in the Telegraph in London. This book is coming out in the UK, which I'm thrilled about. I'm going on a big tour there to four different cities in England, and it got a bad review. I don't think it was like an official review, but it was something like an opinion piece in the Telegraph, and it said something like, "Leave Lolita alone," or something. And it said that my character has an affair with a dentist, which she doesn't. She has an affair with a obstetrician. I don't know where they got dentist. There's no dentist in the whole book. So I don't think the person read the book too carefully, but she sure was angry at me. And it was a little shocking to read that because I wasn't expecting it, and I've gotten such nice response from other people, but it is exactly what I was expecting. So also, I wasn't expecting it, but I was totally expecting it. So I'm ready if that sort of thing happens.
So one of the things I find interesting was that Swana's favorite book is Catcher in the Rye and Holden Caulfield. I feel like it just sort of matches her, you know, because this book is a coming of age for her too. So just
And when you write a book, when you choose a character and you sink into that character is made up of all of the culture that she's or he has absorbed. Whatever era you're writing in, that's the you have to think of what songs the characters listen to and what books the character ha would have read and what movies he or she has seen. So I didn't even have to reread any of these books because they were so deeply absorbed into me. You know, like all these books that she references, like Eloise or Catcher in the Rye or Little Women or Gone with the Wind or lots of Judy Blume is mentioned. And that's just, and the Essie Hinton is mentioned. That's just her makes up the fiber of this character, and that's what made up me, you know. So it's just such a part of me hearing all these voices, hearing Judy Blume's voice in my head, hearing J.D. Salinger in my head. You just, it's just a part of me, and so it's a part of her.
Well, I will say I laughed out loud so many times in this book. Like, there's this one part in chapter 10 where her mother says that she is her boyfriend's muse, and but then she has a fight with him and is upset that he's not listening to her. And so Swana, being this wise woman that she is, she says, "Well, the artist doesn't, you know, listen to the muse's feelings. That's not what that's about." She like explains this relationship. Had me cracking up. And then when he comes out, and then when the boyfriend comes out smelling a booze, and the mother's like, "No, he was eating Munster cheese. It's not booze." I was like, "What does Munster smell like?" I had to think about that.
I'm so glad. The Munster cheese incident is a famous incident in my family because it really happened. My mother's boyfriend was a complete drunk, and she always insisted it was because he had eaten Munster cheese. But it was actually straight vodka.
Yes, I will definitely be thinking about this the next time I try Munster cheese or vodka. I'll be like,
Hilarious.
So what's next? Are you working on something new, or are
Yes, I
you?
mean, I've got this other project that I was working on, and I'm going to go back to it. And I'm excited, and I'm just so grateful to have this book out because I hadn't realized how much I had missed all of this and how grateful I am for it. And I'm not going to let another 13 years happen again if there's anything I can do about it. So I'm excited to get back to work, and I'm excited to see what comes next.
So, one of the questions I always like to ask an author is there something you want to tell me or something that you wish I had asked about this book?
Oh, well, is there something I wished you'd asked? I really liked all the questions that you asked, and the point that I like to make again is that she's not a victim. And just talking to women, I've been talking to so many women about this book now, because I'm going to book clubs. It's fun to go to book clubs with this book because you can they've read it, so you can talk about the end, because the end is a really big part of the book that we can't really talk about without giving it away. But it's amazing how many women had these kind of brushes with situations like this, brushes with relationships like this. So, I won't ask you if you have had that, but I'd love to hear from people if they read the book, and I'd love to hear what people have to say.
Oh, yeah. And I think, I think the whole, it's just, it was a different time period and things were approached differently. People are, I think nowadays things are much more cautious. People are more afraid to do certain things. But I think at that time, I think we were a little more free.
Yes, I think so. But now we're a little safer, and that's okay too.
Yeah, of course. Yes, definitely. So last question is, what are you reading or what do you recommend we read?
Well, I've been talking a lot about the book True Grit, which was a huge inspiration for this book. And it's also a 14-year-old protagonist who goes on a mission to avenge the murder of her father. And if you think my character is brave, you'll just be amazed by the character of Maddie Ross in True Grit by Charles Portis. Donna Tartt is a huge fan of the book, and I haven't heard her read it on Audible yet, but she does the book on tape, and it's supposedly incredible to listen to. So I recommend that. And then I've been enjoying all the books on the banned book table at different bookstores around the city. And I just read Kramer versus Kramer, which I had never read. And it's just refreshing to hear these uncensored voices from the 70s and 80s. That's what I recommend. I recommend going back in time a little bit.
Yeah, that's I started a banned book club here at the library.
Oh, that's
And so we've
great.
been reading banned books. A lot of the books have been banned. So yeah, we've been enjoying it, like going back, like, why was this banned? So it's been, yeah. So I'll have to add Kramer versus Kramer to the list because that has not come through yet. So, or we haven't read it. So
Great. And I'm happy to talk to your book club if you ever want to do Swana or one of my other books. I would love it.
oh, yeah, thank you. Absolutely. So, thank you so much for your time. This has been so much fun, and so I just learned so much about the book.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm really happy to be here.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Join us next week when we talk to Professor Marianne Gibson about her new book, Witchcraft: A History in 13 Trials. This is nonfiction. So it's a fascinating look at the witch trials that happened throughout the US and Europe. Until next week.